obviously you've heard about, and we are wrestling with a number of bills in Judicial Proceedings Committee right now about shielding and expungement. I think that's been a focus over the last couple of years, and one of the bills is called the Second Chance Act, which I'm sure you've heard about. And just like this, we are all working on, along with the state's attorneys and others, we're working on kind of a parameter for dealing with those issues for underage drinking, for all kinds of penalties to ensure, for the same exact reason.
So I guess the question from a policy standpoint, why are we piecemealing this to say, if you do a certain amount of drugs, we're going to shield that, but if you sip on a beer, we're going to let your employees know about it on a public website, or if you gave them false, said I was really 21, but I was only 20, and you're going to put that up. Why are we splitting this at this point and not waiting for your committee to actually deal with that and come out with a single policy, opposed to saying, for drugs, we're going to shield it, but for underage drinking, we're not going to shield it?
Right. So possession of small amounts is, in fact, in the Second Chance Act, which is going to be, I believe, coming to the floor soon, is a shieldable offense. So we've talked about that at great length in our committee already. And let me just focus. I understand we're going to kind of deal with this in terms of small little chunks here, but let me just say
10
this.
10 grams or less.
Let me just say this to you, and I think this is an important point for the body. There are, and we can go through alcohol laws and salvia laws, and we can go through heroin. For all these various and sundry states, I can share with you that in now 17, 18 states now, de minimis amounts of marijuana, which is defined differently in different states, and actually Maryland under this bill, Senator, would be the smallest amount of marijuana, 10 grams or less. Most of these other states have 30 grams, 2 ounces, and so forth. This is the smallest amount. And in none of these states has there been an increase in drug driving, which we've discussed already. There's been no when they move from criminal to civil, when they gave folks a second chance and didn't allow them to, have problems with educational opportunities and work and so forth, when they move from a criminal to a civil statute, there has been no increase in drug driving, no increase in marijuana usage, no increase in the so-called gateway effect. There's been no increase in Mississippi or Ohio or New York or North Carolina or any significant number of states in this country. Nothing of that type has happened. So, we can talk about the various and sundry alcohol laws and salvia and all these other things, but the general prospect of this is to do what, now there's, I think, 13 other states that are looking at this too. So by next session, we'll be in the minority of states. But right now, with 17, 18 other examples, everywhere from the 1970s, there's been no discernible effect when you move from criminal to civil.
And I'm not debating you on that. I mean, we just have a
personal... Because that's what this bill is.
We have a personal disagreement on that, and I'm going to vote red against the
bill. Well, before you say there's a personal disagreement, the good news about this is not a philosophy. I don't disagree with your... This isn't a philosophical debate. This is about data. And the good news is you don't have to take my word for it. In all of these different states, it's not a matter of agreeing or disagreeing. There's actual data out there to show these things from state to state.
It is a disagreement. I can disagree on whether drug use is good or not. And you can...
No, I'm not arguing on that.
Okay.
Senator.
Let me get on to what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that part. The main issue I have is the consistency between our laws. What you're saying here is we're setting up one standard of shielding for drug use, another shielding for alcohol.
Well, unfortunately, that's the way the law works.
I'll let you finish. Okay? So we have that. We have the penalties inconsistent between what the drug is, and it can be up to 10 times for alcohol. So my concern with the bill right now, among other things, is it's inconsistent with our policy. And I'm saying, from a policy standpoint, which we should be dealing with, is it's inconsistent. But I will leave it at that, and I would just like to make some statements on the bill.
Okay.
If I could proceed. Earlier this session we had a discussion on alcohol and drugs earlier. It was with contraband. And what we decided as a body was that we were going to make it stiffer penalties for the drug contraband, including marijuana, and we were going to make it easier for the alcohol. This bill does just the opposite. It makes it easier on drugs and harder on alcohol. I think the policy issue has not been well thought out on that, and it's not consistent. And I think it sends the wrong message to our children. And there's a pun coming here. So there's quite a buzz in our high schools about this bill. And the kids are looking at this. They know this bill is going on. And what I'm hearing is it's just like a speeding ticket. They don't want a speeding ticket, but if they get it, they just move on. So what is this policy saying? And I think there is a valid argument. Should we be sending people who are doing drugs without any other crimes to jail? I think that needs to be a valid discussion that we have. Should we be filling our jails with nonviolent criminals just doing drugs? But that's not what this bill is. What this bill does, it says you can get rehab if it's just marijuana. It doesn't address the other drugs. They still go to jail. So don't think this is about that. It's more about the marijuana specifically. And I'm not judging the sponsor's motives at all, but I know some people who have come down and testified on this, they want the other bill that's in committee. They want to legalize marijuana. And if you look in the last 2 short years where we've gone, it used to be $1,000 and a year in jail for marijuana. In 2012, we brought the $1,000 down to $500 and 90 days. This bill, if it passes, brings it down to $100 and no jail. So you've gone from a $1,000 fine down to $100. You've gone to 1 year in jail down to no jail. And I'm sure the next step will be trying to legalize it. As I said before, I think this sends the wrong message to our children. 2 years ago, as I said yesterday, I believe we had a just say no policy to drugs, which many parents agree with. Now under this, I think it's more like just say a little, like 10 grams. And then at this rate, probably in a year or so, we will just say, just do it. I think this rapid policy shift and unintended consequences will have an adverse effect on our state. So I will be voting red. Thank you.
We're going to recognize the senator behind him, if you don't mind, the distinguished senator from Washington County. Then we'll hear from the senator from Baltimore County, okay? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. President, members of the body. I rise to suggest that we vote for this piece of legislation. And I'd like, if you don't mind, to talk a little bit about the progression of my thinking on this bill in terms of how I got from where I started to where I am today and why I think this is a piece of legislation that we support. Before I do that, I think it's important to define terms about what this legislation is and what it's not. First of all, this legislation is not what Colorado and Washington have attempted. And I have been quite forthright and vocal about this. While I know that the idea to legalize and tax is passionately supported by some people, I passionately oppose it and will continue to oppose it because the data that we're seeing coming out of Colorado and Washington, to me, are troubling. And it's a road that I don't want to go down, at least until we see more data. And so far, what we've seen out of that state is not positive. Our current system, the war on drugs, ladies and gentlemen, it is not working in the state of Maryland. It is not working in the United States. We are spending incredible resources with our judiciary, with our law enforcement, with our courts, and the rate of drug use is not going down. If the rate of drug use were somehow going down because of mass incarceration, then I can understand the objection to this bill, but it's not working. What this bill does, Mr. President and members, is tries to arrive at a different paradigm in terms of looking at this situation. Instead of mass incarceration, instead of using our resources to lock people up, this treats it, with the amendments that were passed, as more of a medical public health issue. I started, Mr. President, with the premise that I was not only going to be voting against this bill, but that I was going to be speaking against this bill. So I directed my staff, find me the data. Show me that in states that have gone this route, Mississippi, New York, I think the sponsor said 13 states. Show me where states that have done this, that have gone civil citations, where drug use has gone up. And quite frankly, that's what I expected to find. And my staff did the research. They looked into this. And quite frankly, that research does not exist. And I will repeat that. The states that have gone this route have seen no commensurate increase in teen drug use. In fact, some have actually seen a decrease. So despite the fact that my inclination was to vote against this bill, the data would indicate otherwise. So And I will even further attest to that, because quite frankly, some of the proponents came in and said that to me, and I said, yeah, right. You're just trying to pass the bill. But the academic literature on this is fairly clear. There is a survey that was done by two social scientists, published in the Social Science Journal, and their conclusions say that there's no evidence of any kind of gateway impacts where people who are using, who are charged under this are using other drugs. In fact, states that have decriminalized marijuana did not suffer impacts of marijuana use nor epidemics of other drugs relative to states that continue to apply criminal sanctions to possession of small amounts of marijuana. Furthermore, recriminalization of marijuana is unlikely to yield a significant reduction in the use of marijuana, for that matter, other legal or illegal drugs. So that's the research that we're able to find. So where are we then? If we continue with our current system of mass incarceration, number one, from my perspective, it's a waste of resources. It's criminalizing and giving additional business to the cartels. But it is also not what I think are the hallmarks of a just society. The data is also incontrovertible that there is a racial disparity in terms of those who are more likely to be arrested for marijuana in this state. And that's just not right. That's not the type of society that I want to live in. So what happens to people who are arrested for a small quantity of marijuana? Their intake through the criminal justice system, law enforcement has to take away their time. They're sitting in court when they should be going after other types of drug crimes, other types of sex crimes, other violent crimes, not this type of situation. So what I'm suggesting is that the war on drugs, it's time that we shift tactics. Do I want to raise a white flag, Mr. President? No. Because we have some serious public health issues. But this tactic, that what this bill seeks to do is to divert some of those resources into what's not working, into what we know that would work. So for those reasons, in terms of making sure that our resources are going where they're supposed to go, I would suggest that we vote for this bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator, thank you for your observation. No, this is an important issue, and anybody wants to speak, entitled to be heard. Distinguished Senator from Baltimore County. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Thank you very much, Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate. I'll be brief, but you know, in my 12 years here, I've noticed that all of us go through this time in committee when we're pondering a bill, and there's that moment. And it's what makes the committee system so great. It's that moment when you hear what a witness went through, and you think to yourself, that's it. And on this bill, it was a kid from College Park who went to the University of Maryland, and he got pulled over. And he gets pulled over, and the police officer spent an incredible amount of time looking through his car, looking for something. And they found residue. They found just a little bit of residue of marijuana. And that little bit of residue in his glove compartment caused him to be handcuffed, taken to central booking, and spent a weekend there and went through this entire process where he had to hire a lawyer. He spent $8,000 on the lawyer, missed a semester of school. It set him back a year for a little bit of marijuana. And the distinguished senator from Hagerstown said it best when he talked about a just society. I listened to that testimony. That's what a just society doesn't do that. Okay? We find treatment. Maybe there's a must appear, and there's a civil citation, and we let him go on his way so he can go back to school. And I realize that not all the instances of marijuana possession are like that. But when you take 26,000 people a year in Baltimore City and you incarcerate them just for possession, and you make them go through this entire system, and they end up poor, and they end up just as addicted if they are addicted to that drug, and whether it's an addictive drug is another issue. But when they still have this dependency problem, and all you did is take $8,000 or $10,000 out of their pocket and gave them 5 days in jail because they didn't hurt anybody but themselves. And that's what we have to look at. You're not hurting anybody but yourself. So I urge a green vote. Thank you.
Okay, folks. This is Senate Bill 364.
Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
Very briefly, I just want to make one point because nobody on this body, nobody in this room wants an increased use of any drugs. No one. This bill does nothing to increase usage of drugs. Not marijuana, not heroin, or crack or coke or anything else. It does not increase drug driving. It's simply, and you don't have to take my word for it, you can look, as the senator from Hagerstown said, at all of these other states. In fact, most of them have a lower rate of drug usage than we do. And I just want to make that point because I've heard some comments on television, radio about that. And just so you know, from the police standpoint, the Fraternal Order of Police this year took no position on this bill. They have been adamantly opposed for years, and this year took no position on this bill. They do not, they allowed me to say on the floor, they are not opposed to this bill. Now, the chiefs came in and talked to us in JPR, and I can tell you they were admitted before our committee. All of their data was about Colorado. And Colorado is not decriminalized. That's recreational legalization. That is not what you're voting on here today. This bill, Mr. President, I would proffer to you, will have the reverse effect. Drug use will go down because of this bill. You will have police officers on the street where they should be, not sitting, twiddling their thumbs in the district court, waiting for a case that will never, ever get prosecuted. Sitting there, they will be out on the street to deal with real crime. You'll have resources because of this bill diverted into drug treatment programs. And this body, with this vote, will be saying no to drugs because this bill will be effective. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Okay, are we ready to vote? Okay, Senate Bill 364 is now on third reading for final passage. Clerk, will call the roll.
Mr. President.
Has everyone recorded the vote? Anyone wish to change their vote? Anyone wish to explain their vote? If not, the clerk will take the call. 36 affirmative, 8 the negative. The constitutional majority's bill is declared passed.